The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Thank you for tuning in once again. And before we get started, I would like to remind you, just because we discuss some strategies of either tax planning or real estate investing, maybe private real estate partnership syndications, please check with your existing advisors to make sure that you're not getting ready to jump into the deep end without there being enough water, so to speak. And it's quite possible that you did hear correctly and that whatever we discussed does apply. However, may not. And I'd hate for anybody to unwittingly end up, you know, on a destination they weren't counting on. But in any event, before we get started, I also want to remind you that we are not discussing specific tax planning or investment opportunities that you can participate in or even undertake on your own. You may not qualify to do so. And as an example, from time to time, we'll talk about certain multifamily syndications that are only available to accredited investors. And if you're non-accredited, you cannot participate. In fact, you probably shouldn't even be hearing about it, at least directly from a syndicator. We can talk about concepts without those being directly applicable to you. It would not constitute any type of offering. But in any event, you know, you do have to be qualified to participate in projects that are offered under the crowdfunding statute, Rule 5 of crowdfunding statute, to be specific. And if you have questions about that, feel free to let me know, and I'll be able to assess it quickly if I can get a little bit more information from you. Speaking of, if you'd like to connect with me, you're able to go to our website at beaplanner.com, and the forms link up at the top right, I believe it's the second link from the rightmost link up at the top. And if you will fill out that first form, step one, I'll be happy to spend some time with you on the phone and try to ascertain whether or not we can help you meet your goals and objectives. One other thing, you know, we talk about almost every week, we talk about using your retirement funds to invest in real estate. And if you do have questions about that, if you would be kind enough to also submit the Form 2, Step 2, the retirement profile, that will give me enough information to tell me if your funds are situated currently where we can access them. And in many cases we can. There are some exceptions, and we'll let you know fairly quickly once you can give us that information whether we'll be able to. Let's see what else on that front. So also to be clear, we're not rendering any kind of legal advice or other accounting or tax advice unless or until you become a client. So think of the discussions we undertake on the air as being perhaps an introduction or educational in value. Again, if you'll fill out our forms, then we can speak specifics about what, you know, you might qualify to undertake and whether or not we can give you a hand. So in any event, let's see. Last week I had discussed the 401 trust again, and I always remember a few things later that I either didn't have time to discuss or I just flat out forgot to raise it. And you know, the 401 trust is such a huge opportunity for those that are either deriving their primary income from self-employment of some sort, consultant, lawyer, accountant, Uber driver. You know, there's a number of things that you could be doing. Anything that involves a self-employment scenario, whether it's full-time or a part-time side hustle. And if you need to take a look at what some of those might be, my gosh, just Google side hustle and see how many options come up. I've seen sites that have lists as many as 500 or more on a list. And a side hustle is the magic key that opens the door to the self-directed 401 trust. And I know that you won't hear many real estate mentors, the gurus, discuss it. In fact, I was just looking at some YouTube videos earlier today. I spend quite a bit of time looking at videos dealing with tax and accounting topics, investment topics. Spending a lot of time right now looking at videos regarding the city of Bangkok and Cebu in the Philippines and several other, Bali, KL or Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. These are areas that I want to expose my client base and prospects to in terms of possibly interesting you in a part-time living abroad model that I'm trying to put together, where you too, just like I do, can live all or part of the time in Southeast Asia, which just happens to be one of the best spots on the planet as far as I'm concerned, and particularly Thailand. As many of you know that listen to the show, I live primarily in Bangkok, and the more I explore these other cities, I mean, yes, there are some great places, but I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that I've found in Southeast Asia that approaches Bangkok when it comes to infrastructure. And I have to admit, after living here back and forth over the past 20 years, it's hard to believe, almost 20 years, I'm about a year away from being able to say that, almost to the week. I think May 6th maybe, or May of 2006 for sure, was when I first touched down here. And you know, I, like everything else in my sphere, it takes me a while to figure things out. I think I'd visited Bangkok, you know, back and forth. I married a Thai lady about a year and a half after first visiting Thailand, and we've been married, gee, it's hard to believe, almost 18 years now. And, you know, what you take for granted here unless you move around and you spend some time in these other locales, you don't realize the incredible infrastructure that we have here in Bangkok. I mean, for all intents and purposes, this is no different than Texas. And of course, in Texas, I spend most of my time in Houston or Dallas or San Antonio. And so, you know, Apple stores, Lazy Boy showcases, in the city of Bangkok, I think at last count, we've got almost 200 Starbucks locations just in the city of Bangkok, which is the city that has the most, albeit that's still a big number. And I don't know, probably, I don't want to say thousands, but I wouldn't be, there's no number you could tell me that would shock me as to how many 7-Elevens we have here. I mean, they are literally everywhere. They're not all franchises. There's company stores, but you know, I've said many times, you can be sitting on the front steps of one 7-Eleven and see as many as two or three more within your field of vision. It's just unbelievable, and it fills such a vital role, probably much more so than I ever remember in the U.S., and I haven't been in a 7-Eleven in quite a while in the U.S., but I tell you, here, they're vital, and I know we have one just at the entrance to our subdivision here, and, you know, of course, they're 24/7, and it's not just groceries or, you know, small stuff. Most of them have a coffee capability. They have the barista type equipment, and you can get a really good coffee. I mean, it ranks right up there with McDonald's, which, if any of you have read much about the different surveys and polls on good coffee in America, McDonald's beat Starbucks, which that probably won't come as a surprise to many of you. But in any event, I just keep thinking, you know, it's good to learn about these other cities, but if you're interested in making a change now, before I've had the chance to spend some time in the other cities I mentioned. Oh, and by the way, Da Nang, Vietnam, was one I don't think I had on my list. Yeah, I'm going to at least visit them, but I got a feeling I'll never run out of good packages or good options for people that want to come spend a month or three in this part of the world. And I would tell you the sweet spot is probably a month for most of the visa types that would apply in these locales, although Thailand at the moment has a 60-day, as they say, visa-free passport stamp, and then you can extend it another 30 days. So realistically, you could stay here for 90 days. And each of these countries has their own tax systems. And I've gotten obviously very familiar with Bangkok's or Thailand's, and I'm learning about several of these others. But I'll just tell you, Thailand is a situation where you can totally avoid the tax that a retiree might pay if you keep your days that you're in country below the 180 mark. So it really works out well in terms of part-time living abroad, whether you're going to spend some time in these other countries or whether you go back and forth from the U.S. And the city itself, with all the housing options, part-time, full-time, fully furnished, low cost of housing and living in general, say 30 to, I don't know, you could go crazy and maybe you would spend as much as 50% of what it would cost to live in America, but it is most assuredly a higher standard of living if you get up as much as 50% of what you're spending in the U.S. if you're spending it over here. I mean, it's just amazing what you can find. And of course, if you want to spend, you know, $50,000 to $100,000 a month on a rental, they have those too. They've got penthouses on top of some of these 50 to 70 story buildings that are just, I mean, they're hard to describe how impressive they are. That's not my style of living, but I'll tell you, for $500 to $750 a month, you can get a really, really nice one, and in some cases, two bedroom, fully furnished apartment, and you can rent them for periods of, you know, a week or longer. So it really works out well. And if any of you folks are thinking about taking a trip just to explore, this would be a great spot to do it. And of course, the airport in Bangkok is like a launch point for most of Southeast Asia. I'll never forget my second trip over here in 2006. I landed, the nice new airport had just opened, and it was designed, I believe, for 42 million passengers before they were going to expand it. Well, they ended up in year two, I believe it was, or maybe it was year three, they hit 35 million. Well, maybe, okay, 35 million was year one. I think they were closer to 40 in year two, and by then they decided to go ahead and proceed with expanding that airport. But it's just perfectly situated. You're hardly more than 3 or 4 hours to most other major cities. Hong Kong, I think, is about 3 hours away. Singapore's less. Vietnam's 55 minutes, if I recall. And it's just a great spot. So I marvel every time I get back. I was just in the U.S. Most of last year, and couldn't wait to get back. And boy, I don't even want to think about leaving to go back to the U.S. soon, but I'll do it. And by the way, any of you that want to come over on your own, you don't need my help, but you do want to get together when you're over here. Like, I had a listener, about a month ago, visit Thailand, and he, communicated with me. I met him for dinner and had a great chat. And I think we'll end up doing some work for him. But in any event, we welcome any and all inquiries. And even if you don't decide to engage us to consult on a kind of a concierge travel mode, let me know what you need. And I'll see if I can help track it down for you. Let's do this. We've run past our break. Let's go ahead and take a break. And when we get back, we'll pick back up with the self-directed 401 trust. Just a couple loose ends I wanted to clean up. We'll be right back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan@npross.com. That's Nathan@npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I started talking again about the self-directed 401 trust and essentially reminding you that it is the single best entity or best structure to undertake real estate investing, especially for those of us that invest passively, where we're not really wanting to buy a property, you know, all on our own, or maybe buy one on our own, maybe a smaller apartment building, and then hire a management company. But there's absolutely no better entity to consider than the self-directed 401k. And I want to dispel some notions that some of the amateurs project on their various platforms. I know we've got one in the Houston area. Mr. I think he refers to himself still as self-made millionaire. And I believe him. I mean, he is, well, he's a millionaire. I'm not sure. I think you and or me and other members that had joined his organization had as much or more to do with it as he did. But that's another argument. But I've heard him say that, you know, it's crazy or it's insane to do certain things. And one of the things that he talks about is, you know, why are you putting money into a 401k? Because the 401k doesn't pay you. You're only paying it. And I don't understand. I'm going to assume it's maybe a memory issue, his memory, because we've discussed in immaculate detail how a self-directed 401 works. And it's anything but a scenario where you're only sending money one way. I will fully stipulate that the big company, meaning any amount of participants over one, unless it's your spouse, that's who gets to undertake the solo K. So again, self-employed people, you're a consultant, you're a lawyer, you're an accountant, you're a landscaper, you're, you know, you flip homes or wholesale, and you're doing more than you can suggest. It's just an investment. In other words, it's employment. And I do agree with the concept Mr. Self-Made Millionaire has espoused ever since I've known him, which is flipping and wholesaling is a job. It's taxed like a job. So it's treated as self-employment income to the extent you're doing too many transactions. And, of course, too many, quote-unquote, is not defined in the code. But if you're buying, say, a couple properties a year, I'm going to tell you, you're not flipping them. You're buying properties for investment. And if you happen, as you're fixing that property up and getting it ready for rental, to have someone to offer to buy it, well, that's different than saying, well, we're going to buy 10 properties this year that we're going to fix up and flip. It's your intent, and it's your intent when you buy it. And I suggest there's a lot of ways, well, there's enough ways for you to be able to show that's your intent. As an example, if you're going to truly flip houses, have one entity that you create just for flips. Have that entity, or consider making that entity an S-Corp, because it'll be a way you can moderate some of the SE tax. That's one way. There's other ways, but that's one way, and that's the one most people have probably already heard that strategy of. But if you're buying something that you're not overtly planning to flip it, and maybe you don't know, well, err to the side of knowing that you're gonna get it as an investment property, and then you'll turn around and start repairing it. And you know, again, if someone happens to offer, put a for rent sign in the front yard, snap some images of that, show the before and after status of the property, and again, you get at least a year down the road. Well, then you're into the capital gain territory, or 1031, which is another pet peeve I have with Mr. Self-Made Millionaire, but we'll talk about that later. But in any event, so the notion that you only send money to your 401k, that's a pretty, I think, clear statement when it comes to the big company 401. And in fact, I don't recommend you utilize a 401 at a large company unless it's simply to collect a match from your employer. And in that case, okay, contribute whatever the amount is you need to contribute, and no more, to maximize getting those funds, because at some point you can roll them over to your self-directed. You can still have a self-directed 401 even if you're in a big company plan. That's not a problem, unless you happen to be maybe a controlling ownership interest in the 401 plan, the big company one, which is unlikely. I haven't ever had to address that with any of my clients. But bottom line is, the self-directed 401, the ability for you to control it, the ability for you to take in-service distributions, and that's what Self-Made Millionaire refuses to acknowledge. It's not that I hadn't discussed it with him. He just, it would ruin his story, and it would ruin his suggested strategy of, even though he thinks it's insane for you to invest your money unless you know you're going to get it back. That's the first thing, and I agree, you should know whether you're going to get it back. But why would you pay tax dollars to the IRS? When are you going to get those back, Mr. Self-Made Millionaire? I would invite you to come on my show, and let's talk about some of these inconsistencies that you seem to espouse about, paying taxes or not paying taxes. You know, you talk about doing 1031s, and all you remember is the gravy. You don't remember any of the prep time, and you don't remember some of the gotchas on those transactions. And, of course, most people that are in the room when you're discussing these things don't have any background at all in Section 1031 transactions, just like they don't have a background in self-directed IRAs or self-directed 401s. If they did, you'd probably be erasing the whiteboard even faster than I remember you used to. And yet, more power to Self-Made Millionaire. He's got a great program for some people. It fits, and I've just mentioned earlier the concept of non-accredited or unaccredited, however you want to portray that, investors, where if your net worth is less than the requisite $1 million or so, or your income is less than several hundred thousand, depending on whether you're single or joint, then you really need to consider Self-Made Millionaire's program. It's got value because, if I'm not mistaken, his program still mandates that all offerings that come through that platform are offered under 506B of the crowdfunding statute, meaning that both non-accredited and accredited, or at least up to 35 non-accredited investors and an unlimited number of accredited can participate, as opposed to 506C type offerings, which is simply for the accredited. But, you know, I find it interesting at times the things that will be said on one occasion that he seems to forget later. And I, again, would admonish him for poo-pooing the notion of using some of these tools effectively, as opposed to just, you know, throwing everything out, throwing the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, when in fact that baby with the bathwater is the best possible way to undertake what he's otherwise promoting. And in terms of controlling your money, investing in real estate passively. And by the way, you can talk all you want to about things like 1031 exchanges and some of the other things that are discussed within that program. The large majority, and I don't mean anywhere near 50%, try 95 to 98% of the people that join that program are joining to invest passively, thank goodness, in the multifamily syndications. They're not buying to go buy their own property. That used to be the case back when I joined, way back in the early 2000s. I'm going to date myself. You know, it was three or four of us joining together to go buy a 40 or 50 unit apartment building. Well, that hadn't been the case in many, many years, and now it's 150 to 200 people joining together to go buy a 300 to 500 unit property. And so there's very little entrepreneurship within the passive crowd. I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You know, the most efficient form of governance is a dictator, right? And I guess you could say the lead partners within Lifestyles or within that group are benevolent dictators. And you almost have to be, because otherwise you'll never get anything done. So I don't want to have you take away that I'm negative about that program. There are some programs I'm negative about in Houston. There's several of them. But I really look at trying to fully exploit the good that comes with a platform such as Self-Made Millionaires. He's been around for a while, and there's a reason. And in any event, but if you want to join a program like that, you know, touch base with me. I'll help you exploit it. I'll help you take advantage of the opportunities. I'll also warn you, just as he does about everybody else, there's no givens. There's no absolute success coming your way just because you invest in a transaction on their platform. They've had failures, and they've had personal failure. And in spite of the moniker of that platform, there's true sadness that has happened within that platform even recently. And so again, you won't hear about that being discussed on the radio, and you won't hear about the hundreds of failures in terms of the lead partners that have attempted to undertake transactions. But just understand, there's no guarantees when it comes to real estate. The only guarantee is you won't succeed if you don't get started. So I'm in 100% agreement with Self-Made Millionaire about taking action. I guess we would just differ on how you approach the action you take. And I'm going to suggest to you, to use one of his words, it's insanity, or it's insane, to hand the IRS 30 to 50% of your net worth by cashing out or ripping the Band-Aid off your pre-tax retirement funds. That's just, there's no other way to explain it. You can do the exact same thing. And I'll tell you right now, if you're thinking you want to pay tax, and there are reasons to pay tax, but the reason is so you're done paying tax. And unfortunately, Self-Made Millionaire doesn't seem to acknowledge that when you cash out and you're investing passively in these big partnerships, you're not done paying taxes. I haven't seen one transaction in 20 years now, and I see most of them because I've got clients. The better portion of my client base is made up of members of that platform. I have not seen one transaction that had more than 10 or 15 partners in it pull off a 1031 exchange. That just doesn't happen because of all the requirements and the fact that some people want to take their money and retire or do whatever makes them happy. And by the way, let's continue to use the word refocus when we talk about what other people call retirement. There's very few of my clients have ever retired. They've refocused into other activities, and I've learned from watching that the ones that stay the busiest end up being the most productive and seemingly live longer than others. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and take our second and final break, and we'll come back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing.
Big dreams.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I just wanted to mention one other thing on my cleanup list for last show's 401 trust discussion. I don't believe I mentioned what the upper limit was on how much you can contribute in a given year. Now, these are subject to some somewhat complicated rules on the amount of income that you have to earn to be able to make either regular pre-tax versus Roth or voluntary after-tax. But let's just say, you know, we'll help you figure out the limitation, but I just want to whet your appetite. And since most of my clients are over age 50 that are undertaking the self-directed 401, and you'll understand momentarily why that might be, because the limit is so high. If you're 50 or over, so 50-year-old or over get to make a, for 2025, you're eligible to make a catch-up contribution of up to $7,500. And so when you look at the amount of contribution for the 50 or the the 50 and under maximum is 70,000. So that means if you do the math, 70,000 plus 7,500 catch up, the current year for 2025, you can make a total. Let's see, let me make sure this is 2025. Well, it is for 50 and older, and then 60 to 63 is even better. But 50 over 50 up till age 60, the total is 77,500 that you can make in 1 year. Sounds a lot better than the 401 at the office, right? And it's not that you couldn't theoretically make the same amount or contribute the same amount. It's just there you've got to have a average participation contribution level of an amount that you'll never get to, because, you know, a lot of employees at your company are probably making less than the 77,000 number. But anyway, if you're 60 to 63, you have a higher catch-up amount of 11,250, thus you would be able to contribute up to 81,250. So now you understand my comment about why most of our clients that have self-directed 401s are over the 50-year mark. I mean, the normal client that I attract is someone that's behind. They realize they're behind the eight ball on retirement savings, and they're looking for places that they can achieve higher than above average rates of return. Real estate has provided that in many cases, and the icing on the cake is that they can invest passively, where they don't have to go find a property, they don't have to do due diligence on it. Excuse me. They don't have to hire, well, they, let's stay in order here. They don't have to track down a bank loan. They don't have to raise capital from other investors. They don't have to hire contractors. They don't have to hire leasing folks and maintenance staff. That's a lead partner or syndicator or sponsor, the various titles we associate with that, or maybe the LLC manager would be a fourth. So, you know, it's a pretty attractive scenario when you look at the alternatives of, I don't know, even buying, and I like small apartment buildings. I actually own one. I've got an 8 unit in San Antonio. And, you know, there's something comforting about an 8 unit building, but there's something that's pretty awesome about being a small piece of a bigger scenario. I've also invested in a portfolio of 10 properties that I believe it's about 4,600, 4,700 units. And, you know, that's almost out of sight, out of mind in terms of having to worry about the things that we have to take care of, excuse me, on the 8-unit property. But in any event, I was thinking here just momentarily. Oh, well, I wanted to mention the key on doing, or one key of using the self-directed 401 trust is the ease of which, and I believe I did mention this last week, the ease of which we can undertake Roth conversions. Because when you have the ability to undertake a Roth, and just so we make sure everyone understands, a Roth vehicle, like a Roth IRA or a Roth 401, is a scenario where either you don't claim the deduction, you're talking peanuts of a deduction, one time, you get to deduct it in the year you give it away, or I shouldn't use that word, the year you contribute it to the IRS if you do a pre-tax scenario, not Roth, you do the pre-tax, the normal, the standard, you get a deduction. Let's call it 22 to probably 30% in most cases, depending on the bracket you're in. But that's it. So that money's going to go into whatever you invest in, mutual funds, stocks, bonds, etc. Hopefully it goes up. And as it goes up, you're letting go of more and more of your retirement funds. And you say, well, why? What do you mean letting go? I mean, you're working for the IRS at least as much, most likely, because rates will no doubt have to go up with the predicament we're in from a deficit standpoint. And so by the time you start taking distributions, rates will be higher. So you're going to get clobbered probably if you have, $1 million to $2 million in your account, the level of the required minimum distributions that'll start. I think most people my age, I'm just turned 65, so my age and younger will have until age 75 before you've got to start taking them. And so you're going to be paying more as the tax brackets, no doubt, go up than you would if you were getting RMDs today. But even today doesn't approach the benefit of the Roth. So when you convert to Roth, you're going to pay tax today on the money out of your pre-tax accounts that you wish to convert. Now, you don't have to do it all. You can do it in pieces. And we might suggest you've probably got, I don't know, now that we had Mr. Trump win, and the fact that, from what I can tell, the left doesn't have a plan. I don't want to be too cocky or too optimistic, but I would say it might be as many as 8 or 9 years before we see a progressive party back in control that will jack up our tax rate. So provided you can get your $500,000, $1 million, $1.5 million, whatever you have, hopefully as much as possible, converted over to Roth, and you pay some money each year that represents the tax on those dollars as you add them to your current year non-retirement income. So you tell the IRS, okay, I'm doing a Roth conversion of $50,000 or $100,000, and I owe this much tax, and we prepare a 1099-R for you, and that gets added into your current year tax bill. However, by you investing in the real estate private partnership syndications first before you do the conversion, we're going to get discounts on the value because the tax base is the estimated fair market value of your the balance in your self-directed 401 trust, including the syndication investments, okay? But we're going to claim private company discounts for those, and as you'll notice if you start looking at tax court cases like we do, rates of discounts that the IRS either loses on these gift tax cases, or a big where a parent may be conveying an interest in a privately held company to heirs, somewhere in the 20-25% range is not out of the range of normalcy when it comes to the amount of discount that one might get. You might get a similar discount for the lack of majority control. Bottom line is, by the time you're done, you can typically convert your pre-tax funds for maybe, 40 or 50% as much as what it would take if you did it while your funds were sitting at Charles Schwab or Fidelity. So the planets have aligned for people that are investing in real estate private partnership syndications, and hopefully we're through some of the problems that the debt structures have caused as of late. That we've had a rough slog, but there's ways of dealing with that, and just don't forget this. Don't forget what we've just been through as you start looking at investing in this space, and let's work together to gain some assurances on what might keep us from experiencing that again. Let's do this. We're at the end of the show. Let me just thank you again for tuning in. We'll be back on this coming Friday at 11 a.m., and we hope you can join us. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.